Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton. John Osher. Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good morning. Welcome to Friday and Jags Drive Time on a beautiful Friday morning here in Jacksonville, Florida. The Jaguars back from London, getting set to head to New York tomorrow. Middle of a three-game stretch away from Everbank Field. You'll take it when you start 2-1. Hi, everybody, and welcome inside our studios at Everbank Field. Brian Sexton, along with John Osher. We'll introduce you to Ashlyn Sullivan in just a moment. It's interesting. The London game's a home game. Mm-hmm. But you're still away from Jacksonville three straight weeks.
Way away.
Way away, right? London, New York, and then obviously next week in Pittsburgh. My interest this level, this week, is this team playing away from home three straight weeks. That is an interesting the best teams struggle with that. This is a young team that's rising.
Well, it's really hard, obviously, to run the table in that situation. And within the context of what you're talking about, you have to treat it like it's three straight road games, meaning the preparation, the hydration, all those things. It's a home game for Shad Khan. It's a home game for the revenue stream. But for the players, you're having to deal with the very real realities of, especially with the London, cross time zone travel. The other two really aren't that big of a deal in terms of how Thomas Lynskey and the staff would prepare for it. But the London return, it's an issue. I personally don't think it's going to be that big of an issue.
You know, Marseilles Lewis told me in the locker room on Thursday that training camp was critical for this team in this three-game stretch, and not for the physical side of it, but for the mental. Mm-hmm. They had to figure out a way to get from practice through the weightlifting, through lunch, through meetings. They had to find a way to survive the day.
Right.
And so he said that those tough days in August made for a chance to succeed right now.
Well, I think when we talked about it, it may have been on Senior Moments or at some other point this week, we talked about the need for this team to focus through this and to have the young players truly buy into what Thomas Lynskey and the staff are talking about. As well, the young players need to truly buy into the concept of we have to button down and get this one done and not get distracted by the fact that we're coming back from London or trying to breathe easy or whatever it is. This is a game that mature pro teams go win. Is this team mature?
We're going to find out. Time now for Ashlyn Sullivan, which means big things are on the horizon this morning. Ashlyn, how are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
I'm good. You look bright and vivacious, ready for Friday.
Ready for Friday. Ready for Sunday, actually.
Ready for Sunday. We are all ready for Sunday. But before we get there, big things stand in the way. So hit us with number one.
Yes. Starting confident with number one. Is this matchup on Sunday a should-win game? Now, John and I discussed this earlier in the week on Zone Blitz, and we both thought it was interesting how after Sunday going into Monday, most people said it's a should-win game, but then you watch the confidence grow throughout the week. And then Wednesday in the locker room, some players, including Marseilles Lewis, said this is a must-win game on Sunday.
All right, John, so here's the question. How is this a should-win? Well, why is this a should-win?
It's a should-win because you are playing well enough right now to have the confidence to go to New York and win. It's also a should-win because of the stage of the two franchises. And it's not to sit here and say that the Jets aren't a capable team of winning a game. But they're a team that where you were 3 years ago. They have three players of 30 years old or older on the roster. They have a quarterback who is maintaining the position until they get their franchise guy at some point. It's rebuilding. It has talent. I think it has more talent than the Jaguars did a few years ago when they were in this spot. But that's where the franchise is. You, meaning the Jaguars, are supposed to be in a more ascending state. So you're favored. You're going on the road. It's a game that you ought to win. Players say it's a must win. That doesn't mean they will win.
All right, time for our second big thing. Ashlyn, why don't you hit us with it real quick? Big thing number two. We'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have head coach Doug Marrone with us on Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio. Back after this.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Everything you've got. Let's go!
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access, presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Welcome. Thanks for joining us on Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio. Brian Sexton, John Osier, the head coach of the Jaguars, Doug Marrone. Does it sound strange when we say going home, going back to the city of your birth?
No.
The Jets in New York? Or?
No, I think, you know, outside of, you know, once I turned, you know, when I was 17, turning 18, obviously I went to Syracuse University. And then after that, it's really been, you know, then obviously my career started. And then, you know, everything has always been, hey, you know, you're going back home, whether it's to play or to visit relatives. So it doesn't sound to me, it's just the truth.
Were you a Jets fan or a Giants fan when you grew up?
No, I actually
because you're Long Island, right?
I'm the Bronx.
Okay.
And I actually grew up, there were a lot of Jet fans, a lot of Giant fans, and, you know, there was just a lot of football fans where I grew up. But for me, my first experience to football was a Monday night game, and again, I'm going back, I think it was 1970. My parents were buying their first brand-new car. It was a 1969 green Chevy Impala, AM. No air conditioning. So
no power steering.
Yeah, it's like my kids now. You know, grandma and grandpa, they don't have electric windows. Yeah, that's the way it was done before.
That's right.
You know?
What's that crank for?
Yeah, but and that night, it was my first football game that I ever watched, and I think it was on that date, was the Detroit Lions versus the Chicago Bears. So, you know, for me, I became a Detroit Lion fan because, you know, I liked, you know, animals and things like that. And I liked lions and, you know, and the next thing you know, I just became a Detroit Lion fan when I was young.
But big Yankees fan, right?
Huge Yankees fan. My grandfather worked at Yankee Stadium for about 25 years. And most New Yorkers, it's always like, you know, the Rangers, the Knicks, the Giants, the Yankees. Then it's the Mets, the Jets, the mm-hmm. Nets, you know. And so it's kind of split, you know, when you go home. And that's, you know, and that's probably how it is amongst my friends.
So much talk about the London game playing after a bye. We talked to you on Wednesday, or not having the bye after that. Have you seen anything from that?
No, I think our players have handled everything well. I think that, you know, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and you don't take it for granted and you're doing all the right things from a nutrition standpoint, a sleep standpoint, a preparation standpoint, I think that, you know, they've done a good job and we've had a good week.
How has this team dealt with the success, Doug? With, you know, coming off of a big win and having to get ready, put that aside quickly and move on.
Well, I think that, you know, one, we're not, you know, it's interesting when people say you know you're dealing with success. We really don't feel like, you know, we've done anything yet, and meaning that, you know, we're taking things day by day, game by game. You know, we break the season up. Obviously, people talk about quarters, but we truly try not to. You know, we're not worried about Sunday right now at this moment. We're worried about, you know, what can we do today to put us in the best position to win on Sunday. And my goal as a coach is to make sure that everyone keeps their focus, you know, where they're at. And where we're at right now is, hey, we're at a Friday. We're getting ready to work on certain situations. We're getting ready to play fast. We're getting ready to have this plan come together for us to make sure that everyone has the confidence, you know, and knowing what to do so we can go out there and have an opportunity to win.
You're obviously looking ahead, but there's so much talk about Blake this week, one of his best games last week. What have you seen from him over the last month that you like?
Well, I just, you know, I think he's like a lot of the players now. They're working extremely hard. They They have a good understanding of what we want to get accomplished. They're, you know, we're not where we need to be, but we're better situationally. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, where we're trying to make the right decisions, you know, at certain points in the game. You know, that's something that, you know, you can look at the tape afterwards as a fan and say, oh, we should have done this or should have done that. In that moment when your emotion's going, you know, you've got to make great decisions. So those are the things that we're trying to duplicate in practice so we make those great decisions on Sunday.
I see your Fitbit there. How many steps will you put in on a day?
Well, first of all, I'm not allowed to wear my Fitbit on the sideline. So
what?
The Fitbit's coming off. Fitbit, Apple Watches, things of that nature. We're not allowed to wear any type of device where we can get a text message or,
okay.
That's not
or
fair.
An email.
You can't count your steps.
I know. So now I won't be able to count my steps, you know, during the course of the game. But, you know, we have our, we got something from obviously the league office. So, you know, we're going to have to take that off. And I'm going to
Is this the first game you have to be without it?
No, actually, in London, I couldn't get it on the right time, so I wound up bringing, you know, another watch out there for me. You know, so I really don't look at the watch, you know, during a game. I don't know why. I just think it's more from a comfort level.
But how many steps today, Friday?
Friday, right now, 2,821.
And where will you be at the end of the day?
Oh, I got to be close to 10,000.
That's the daily goal?
Yes.
I figured. You never stop moving.
I know. Well, the other day in a press conference, you know, someone was talking to me and they said, hey, did you happen to see during the London game, they showed some pictures of you playing. I said, no, I haven't watched that. And they said, boy, were you skinny back then? I said, golly, what are you saying I am now? You
yeah.
know, so now I'm even more in tune with my Fitbit.
Well, that was Mark Long. He's a bad egg.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Then Mark's like, no, I didn't really mean it that way. I'm like, well, which way did you mean it?
So Mercedes Lewis told me yesterday in the locker room that he thought that the type of training camp that you had that was mentally demanding is one of the reasons he's so confident that this team will handle three games away from Everbank Field, because he thinks they are a mentally tough unit. Do you agree with that? Do you see signs of that in your team, Coach?
Well, I see signs of that. I think that the test really comes when you're put into those situations. I think, and you know, and that's the test. The test is, you know, how do you handle that adversity during the course of a game where you have to make that decision? It's easy to say that, you know, you're mentally tough and you're ready to do this and I'm ready to do that, and if this occurs, I can do it, you know. But we're constantly working to make sure that when it does hit you in the face, that you're able to overcome that. So that's something that we, you know, continually, you know, talk to our players about and try to work on. And again, the real test will be when it happens to us on a Sunday.
All right. Head Coach Doug Marone, Coffee with the Coach, Friday mornings, Jags Drive Time here on TuneIn Radio. Have a good Friday. We've talked about it. Fridays are fun around here.
Fridays, we try to make them fast, meaning that we get out there and we play the game plan extremely fast. So, you know, we're looking for a great day. We need a great day, and that's what I've told the players about. And, you know, the knowledge, the confidence, and the confidence to play fast. We need to go out there and play fast. When we play fast, you know, good things happen. And that's one of the things that we've been preaching to our players.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That's head coach Doug Marone off for a busy day with his football team today on Friday. We're back with Ashlyn Sullivan. More big things. Ozone Snapshot and the first edition of He Will, He Won't, He Might. We'll explain after this.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you've got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Welcome back to Jags Drive Time. We are now introducing our second big thing of the week. Is the recovery complete from London? Now, this is the first time in five trips to London that they don't have a bye week after London, going straight to New York. Now, Doug Marrone said that he planned this in the offseason, that they were going to use their time wisely this week. And that is the key. He said they worked the entire trip back from London, those 8 hours, working on the game plan for next week, guys.
It's a fair point. Now, John, you have said repeatedly all week you don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. And I talked to Tom Iasinski on the airplane over, on the stadium grounds on Sunday, on the way back. And he had a plan. And his concern was only that the players would actually follow through with the plan and do everything that they were supposed to do. If they did that this week, he felt pretty confident that they'd be ready to go.
Well, and I just base it on how I feel, which is probably a pretty bad thing because I'm not that highly conditioned athlete. I know you think that I'm a highly conditioned athlete, but I'm really not. I haven't felt the drain that you would have expected without the next week's bye. I mean, and
but truthfully, so, how many people hit you on Sunday?
Two. But I'd rather not talk about it. It's a little bit of an issue. But, so I guess I just expected more of a feeling of after the game and thinking, oh boy, how in the world would you get through this week? And I just don't sense that from the players.
No, I don't either.
I would be surprised.
But the Ravens said before the game that they felt fine, that they felt like they handled the trip well.
They'd never done it before.
No, and I thought that was going to be a tremendous advantage, if you recall. But talking to some of the Ravens' sideline people and some of the players before the game, you know, they felt, hey, no problem, we got this. And then you saw. I mean, they were zapped. They had nothing. So I'm curious to see what Sunday is like. Players are saying all the right things. Appears they're doing all the right things. I still think it's an issue Sunday whether or not they are ready to go from the get-go.
I think they will be.
All right. Ashlyn, save us. What's our next one?
Well, it wouldn't be drive time if we didn't talk about Blake, of course. So he threw for 4 touchdowns, 244 yards last week. Now, John said earlier that that was the best game he had when he was a part of this organization as a whole. Now, I think we saw the potential he has when he gets out of his own head. Confidence in the pocket, patient. I think if he keeps it the way he's going, that there's a lot of potential for him.
You know, I think she's right on. He got out of his own way mentally. He was comfortable. He's confident. It wasn't just the fact that he threw the ball well. I mean, with some zip. But some of the throws he made, you and I questioned whether he wanted to make those throws.
Right.
The throw to Hurns in the end zone, where there were 5 white shirts in the vicinity, and he threaded the needle. I didn't get the sense, John, during training camp, that he was confident enough.
Right.
Wanted to avoid the interception so much that he was going to make that throw, but he did.
Well, he also looked off the defender on that play. It was a big-time NFL throw. I'm not going to say he's never made those. He hasn't made those with consistency. A big stat for him that I started to look at this week, in the last 7 regular season games, he has 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
He has been working under Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator. There's a big difference between the approach of a quarterback coach and offensive coordinator for 12 games now. In that time, his interceptions have gone down dramatically. So it perhaps got a little skewed this year because he had the 2-pick game in week 2. And people said, oh, goodness, here he goes again. But if you really look at the body of work, especially since Doug Marrone has been the interim coach, 3 picks. Or I'm sorry, 2 picks. Maybe we're seeing the first seeds of the guy they want him to be.
Well, and he played well here, obviously, against Tennessee on Christmas Eve.
And played okay in Indy.
They didn't get the first down at the end of the game that would have allowed them to kick that field goal, which would have put the game out of reach. They couldn't get that done. But obviously, we know what he's done this year. And when you look at it over time, it appears Hackett and now Marrone and the way that they're setting him up is what he's going to do best.
And I think that's why our gut reaction when he had 2 picks against Tennessee was, here we go.
Right.
Well, if you recall, right after the game, Doug really put the first one on the offensive line for not selling the play action. And even the second one, okay, that's on Blake. They're not jumping to conclusions that this guy is going to go down that path again. So we'll see.
All right. Time for Ozone Snapshot, that moment where we see what John's been dealing with from all of you all week long. The questions that make the most sense for us this morning come to us via Ashlyn. Hey, Ashlyn.
Yes, we're starting off with a strong one. I'm interested to see what John has to say about this one. Josh from Pensacola. Do you think enough was accomplished in the passing game last week that the Jets will have respect for the pass and not load the box every play? If so, could this be the game that Fournette really breaks out?
Well, I don't think it happens yet. I don't think you take one game and have coordinators completely say, hey, we're not going to stack the box against Fournette. We're going to make Blake beat us. Because I think the coordinators are probably looking at the first three games, and they realize that the Jaguars' identity, this team believes it's a running team with Leonard Fournette and even Chris Ivory. So I don't think coordinators are going to completely back off that. But the more Blake can have success, the better for Fournette.
You know, the story this morning in New York was that the Jets haven't had a defensive touchdown in 60 games. But hey, to their credit this week, they get Blake Bortles. So the sense up there is hey, let's make Blake beat us.
Well, and that should be their sense. And that's the million-dollar question going into this game. Is Blake the first 50 games of his career Blake? Is he Baltimore London Blake? That's what we have to find out.
Here's his chance to show us. What else you got there on your list?
Well, there's no way that this is this guy's real name. And if it is, I'm sorry. Raj Dingleface from Duval. I think Grant has earned carries over Yeldon with his effectiveness and speed, and Yeldon should remain a healthy scratch until needed. John, what do you think?
Well, I think that's how it's going to be. I mean, Corey Grant has done a remarkable thing coming from a undrafted free agent to really winning the third down back role over a second round draft choice. And Corey Grant for 2 years was a guy who you weren't sure was going to make the team. And you weren't sure really what he was, special teams. He's earned the role he's got. I think TJ Yeldon will have a role in this team. If there is a game plan where they need third down pass blocking, they need that guy, I think they'll do it. But I don't know that you'll have Yeldon active at the expense of Corey Grant. It might be four running backs.
Well, you know, the interesting part is now you have two bruising running backs in Ivory and Fournette. And you've got the speed back and the guy who can be a third down receiving threat. And then Yeldon doesn't get on the field. Well, at some point, you and I both know this. Fournette's going to be dinged up. Mm-hmm. Ivory's going to be dinged up. They're going to need Yeldon. And
You're saying players get hurt in the NFL?
Occasionally.
Yeah, that's...
But what I'm saying is there's some depth. And we don't hear or see that much about depth with this team.
Right.
But Yeldon is a luxury for this team. He's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. He's got great vision. You do some specific things with stretching the field and having him find the lane and cut back. It's a nice benefit to have.
But my point in teasing you about that is everybody wants to, if he's not playing out active, release him or trade him.
Oh, no.
Yeldon will have a role at some point.
He's a nice player and a guy that they need at some point because of injuries to running backs. All right, we've got a new segment for you here on Jags Drive Time. And this is called He Will, He Won't, He Might. I'll start, and then we'll get players from John and from Ashlyn. It is matchup specific for the week, right? So this will change every week depending on it. On a normal Friday, you go to your favorite website and you find... Well, that would be you.com, right?
Absolutely. Okay.
And you read predictions and read matchup issues. This is very specific. So I'll start. And so mine this week is Mercedes Lewis. And I say that he will have a huge impact in getting the Jaguars running game going because you have two dominant defensive linemen in Muhammad Wilkerson and Leonard Williams, who you might remember I'm quite fond of. I think he's a terrific player. But Mercedes Lewis proved last week, if you watched any of the mic'd up segment that we have on Jaguars.com, very good. He can take those guys and mitigate their presence in the run game.
Which is amazing after 12 years.
Absolutely.
He still can't.
But he's in terrific shape. He takes care of himself. Big, strong, physical tight end. And as much as he loved catching three touchdowns last week, the guy enjoys blocking. So he will be a huge factor in the running game. He won't catch three touchdown passes this week. I mean, that just makes sense to almost anyone who's out there. But he is a guy who can do it when you need him to. And he might become the red zone threat because obviously Allen Robinson with 18 red zone touchdowns the last 2 years was that guy.
Right.
Well, the one thing that Mercedes can do is elevate above the defensive backs and the linebackers, elevate above the coverage. That's not Marquise's game. That's not Allen Hurns' game. That's not Chris Ivory or whoever else is in the game. The one thing he can do is get way up, and we saw last week that it worked. So he will be a factor in the running game. He won't be a three-touchdown guy every week. He might, though, become that red zone threat.
Now you're going to have to help me out here. I'm Calais Campbell, and so you've got your little
notes.
Hold on,
Ashlyn's
I don't have
next.
My little note.
Oh, lady Ashlyn's second. Next. Okay, lady second in this case. I explained it this time.
Come on, John.
I explained it first this time, but she's next. So, Ashlyn, who you got?
My pick is Jalen Ramsey this week. Now, I think he will continue to be a leader on this defense. You saw last week when he got that interception, the whole team rallied around him. I think whether it's good or bad, he'll continue to be a leader. Now, he won't be in competition with A.J. Boye for interceptions this season. He said that yesterday on Ozone Live, and I find that kind of hard to believe. I'm sure they're keeping tallies, but he won't admit to it. And he might be able to go back-to-back with interceptions this week. Now, Jets quarterback Josh McCown has been pretty solid, so I wouldn't count on it being a full-on mistake from McCown, but Ramsey's an athlete, so he can make plays and get that interception this week as well.
All right, good one. And that leaves us with
Help me out with you.
You are the Jimi Hendrix
he will,
of
right.
this. He will is first. Calais Campbell will?
He will have a huge impact because it seems like he's a guy who's going to have a huge impact no matter what. And I really went with Calais because I was talking about the whole defensive front. But this defensive front and Calais Campbell have impacted every game to the point that it's looking like a front that can be one that carries you through that throughout the entire season. And not all defensive fronts are capable of being the team's strength. I think Calais, his addition, is why we're seeing such a difference on the field. He won't. He's not going to have four sacks. But I do think the guy, he's got 4.5 for the season. His career high, I believe, is 9. I think he's got a chance to reach that. And even if he doesn't get the sacks, he's going to continue to have the pressure impact. He seems to be a guy who 2 or 3 times a game, 3rd and 7, you're looking up and all of a sudden Calais has his offensive lineman back in the quarterback's face. To me, more important than sacks.
He might
be the best free agent this team's ever had. And I know we've talked about that a little bit. It sort of speaks to how well they've done in free agency the last couple of years. Malik Jackson, A.J. Boye, and Calais Campbell are a rare thing in that they're free agents who are turning this franchise around. Calais is the bell cow, if you will. He might be one of the impact players in this franchise's history if things keep on going the way they're going.
Let me add something to the might. He might be the most professional player I've ever been around.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, I'm interviewing Avery Jones, and we're talking about the run defense, right? The numbers are skewed because the Jaguars have had big leads in the fourth quarters of 2 games, and the Texans and the Ravens both ran to run the
Correct.
Clock and get out of there. Oh, the Titans did run effectively, so they did show a little weakness in the run game. But so I'm having this conversation with Avery Jones, and Calais is standing kind of where you are, and I'm here like this, and I'm thinking, why is he standing there? What am I saying that he's going to counter? He didn't counter. When we got done, he said, hey, have you considered this?
Mm-hmm.
And then proceeded to give me a lesson in run defense fits relative
right.
to offensive scheme. And I thought, never has a
no,
player waited for me to get done with an interview to help me do my job.
Right, usually they just make fun of
him. Without a doubt. He might be the most
yeah.
professional player that I have ever been
He's
around.
He's up there. He's unique and... You know, outside of that, for the fans who wonder, well, how does that affect the team? He is a guy whose voice other players listen to, other players follow without him having to really try. And an incredible leader, and I think you're seeing it on a lot of different levels.
All right, so we have all kinds of coverage for you heading into the weekend. Obviously, today we will continue our coverage of the football team. We'll have Inside the Jaguars coming up a little bit later today. We'll have On the Road tomorrow. John, what have you got coming up on the...
A Little Ozone. I'll throw the readers a bone. How about that?
Is that a new segment, Little Ozone?
No, it's just Ozone. All right.
And then, of course, folks, we'll be back here on Monday with Jags Drive Time with John and Ashlyn, 8:30 Eastern Time. And, of course, it posts up to the web, something you can watch all day. Appreciate the head coach joining us. So, for Joe Fortunato, Ashlyn Sullivan, John Osier, and Pat Cavanaugh, I'm Brian Sexton. Have a great Friday morning, everybody.